thank you for your graciousness, God. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, we get to come into the house of God, and, Lord, we get to have a good time. God, that we get to experience your goodness, and, Father, that today we get to hear your truth on a subject that's very close to your heart. God, I thank you, Father, that, Lord, this matters to you. God, our hearts matter to you. God, heartbreak matters to you, Father. God, Lord, the feelings of rejection matter to you, Lord. God, I thank you, Father, because our bodies and the way we use them matter to you. God, I thank you, Father, because our futures and the people involved with our future matter to you. So, Lord, I pray that tonight our eyes would see things the way you see things. God, that the way we think about things would change to the way you think about things. God, the questions we have in our heart, that they'd be challenged by you. And God, that as we challenge you with our questions, Father, so, Lord, we'd find where we ought to be. So, Father, we commit this evening to you. We commit this talk to you. Father, we commit our heart and our attention to you, God, and ask that you would have your way tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. All right. Now, tonight, expose God's truth on sex and dating and the whole shebang. You know, here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. Is everybody's after something. And oftentimes, whether it's now or whether it's going to be later in your life, we're going to be after relationships. You know, most people want somebody. Just need somebody to love. I mean, don't you want somebody to love? Don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need? Let me seriously. There's this multi-billion-dollar industry out there on all things relationship, wholesome, unwholesome. I mean, from music to books to seminars, man. I mean, dating websites. You know, I mean, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, the whole shebang. Everybody, I mean, everybody's. It's all you see. And I remember it was just this last week. I was looking on the Twitter, and I saw somebody had posted this picture, and it said something to the effect of, it said, I still wish things could be like they used to be back in the day, where a guy would ask a girl's parents out before he asked her out. I wish it was like back in the day that a guy was after a girl's hand and not just what's in her pants. It said, I wish that it was back in the day when you could go on a long walk and not expect anything afterwards. And I was like, what? I was like, what? I know, I was like, now, I guess times have changed. It was like back in the good old days where these pressures and all these things and relationships and sex and boys and girls and all this, it wasn't so confusing and challenging. You know what? And I read that and I thought to myself, that's ridiculous. If somebody really wanted that, then they would get it. I mean, that's what makes today any different than yesterday? Because you're still you. 50, 100, 200 years ago, people were still people. People want relationships. They want to be somebody. Sometimes a brother just want to have a little time to cuddle. You know what I'm saying? Nothing's changed. But we've been fed this idea of the way things ought to be. And for whatever reason, you and I have bought into it that this is the way things are. This is the way men are supposed to be, and this is the way women are supposed to be. And this is what's expected of me. And all men want this, and all women give this. And this is what's expected after you date somebody for 2 weeks. If you love me, just send me a picture. Oh, show nobody. Hey, you know what I'm saying? This is... All of a sudden, this was not back in the day. No. This is whatever you allow in your life. The days that you have or the days that you ask for are the days that you expect and you go after. I am a firm believer that if somebody really wants something, they will get it. And if you want days like that where you're respected and you're honored, where somebody is willing to climb the highest mountain and go to the deepest valley, to swim the longest ocean to be able to get your love. That That's a standard you have to uphold for yourself. You see, the Bible says this. It says that all things are exposed in the light. And oftentimes, if you would allow God to shine his light in your life, you'll find things that you never knew were there, good and bad. Things that God wants to clean out of your life, expectations and a standard, a bar that God wants to raise, not lower in your life. You'll find that there is value deeper than you ever imagined inside of you. And if you'll hear God whispering to your heart, I wish you saw yourself the way I saw you. Because if you saw what I saw, then half of the stuff that happens in your life, you wouldn't allow it, and you wouldn't put up with it, and you would do things greater than you ever imagined if you could only see yourself as I see you, because the truth is exposed in the light. And if you look at yourself the way all your friends look at you, ladies, if you look at yourself the way the guy in third period sitting in the back of class looks at you, gentlemen, if you look at yourself the way you see men and women in pornography, then all of a sudden you're going to find yourself in a very dark place, putting up for very weak imitations of the truth that God has for you. You see, when you allow God to shine light into your life, you may find yourself a lot dirtier than you hope to find. But if you allow God to shine his light in your life, you'll find that the dirt in your life is very shallow and it covers a very valuable gem. You see, you could live your life however you want. And you can think what I'm saying is just good advice. It's a nice idea. You can say I'm old-fashioned. But you know what? I don't think so. You see, I'm not here to give you my opinion or an idea. I'm here to share with you the Word of God. The Word of God that stood for thousands of years. And you can't tell me what's in this book is old-fashioned. Because like I mentioned last week, that the things that this book talks about were spoken in a time where things today wouldn't even, you'd get arrested if you did today what they did 2,000 years ago in public. You'd be arrested. So don't tell me that this Bible, this book, these words have no relevance today. They're more relevant now than ever before. So you see, you can take somebody's opinion or what you saw on TV as a good way to live life, or you can take the truth. The truth is never out of style. It may not be popular, it may not be easy, but it's never. It's never gonna leave you hanging. It's never gonna let you down. It's never gonna let you go. It says in Ephesians 5:13 that the intentions were evil. You know, last week we talked about the difference between lust and love. And this is the breakdown. Is lust is the opposite in a sense of love. See, lust says, what can I get out of this relationship? Lust says, oh, I want it, so I need it now. Whereas love is the exact opposite. Love isn't, we talked about this a little bit on our Q&A last Sunday night. Love's not a feeling or an emotion. It's not something you fall into or you fall out of. I mean, to be honest, love, if you look at the way God describes love, has very little to do with the way you feel and it has everything to do with the choice you make to choose to give yourself for someone else. Not your body. Not even your heart. If that makes sense to you. Love is you choosing to give your life for somebody. I mean, if the cross is God's ultimate picture of love, then Jesus gave his life for us. Now, ladies, if a gentleman tells you he loves you, you just stop, hold on, wait a minute, and check to see, what has he given for you? What has he sacrificed for you? Gentlemen, if a woman says, I love you, before you turn and run, you need to ask yourself.
I'm just saying.
If she loves me, what has she added to my life? What has she sacrificed? What has she given up for me? Because you see, lust is about what I can get. Love is about what I can give. And I'm a firm believer in this, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, as long as I'm alive. When it comes to love and relationships, there's no such thing as a give-take relationship in God's eyes. It's always give-give. I found that whenever somebody takes something, that makes them a thief. You see, God has never called you to take. And if you ever find somebody taking from you, whether they're taking your time, whether they're taking, you know, your innocence, whether they're taking, you know, your integrity, if they're taking from you, then that person is a thief. And you're never called to take from somebody. We're always called to give. Even give without expecting anything in return. Could you imagine a relationship like that where somebody gave without expecting anything in return? Man, I think we'd see a lot less divorce. I think we'd see a lot less heartbreak. People just gave because it was the thing that they ought to do. You see, that's love. That's love. That's love. 1 Corinthians 13, that's love. Let's do this. What makes the difference between lust and love? What makes the difference between taking and giving? What makes the difference between now and willing to wait? I think the biggest thing, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 6 if you have your Bible with you. I'm going to read some truth to you. The biggest thing that determines the difference between lust and love is the idea of your value. See, you need to know that you are valuable. And this is bizarre because, as strange as it sounds, most people don't know how valuable they are. Most people don't see themselves as worth waiting for, worth giving something for. A lot of us are just happy to get what we get. I remember feeling that way when I was in sixth grade. I remember my brother had a girlfriend, and I remember a friend or two of mine had a girlfriend, and my brother was younger than me. Fifth grade, what's a dude doing in fifth grade with a girlfriend? And I remember thinking, well, I guess it's time to get a girl, you know? I guess it's time for me to get a girlfriend at the ripe age of sixth grade, 10 years old, ready to go for the ladies. Didn't really work. Went that route, and the girl, her hair was jacked up, but it was bad, man. But, you know, you're in 10th grade, everybody, or excuse me, 10 years old, 6th grade, back in the 90s, everybody looked jacked up. So you just had to pick who looked the least jacked up. So, you know, amen, preach that. The bottom line is, you know, she wasn't into me, but that's all right, because she was lame anyway. And I remember that's what it was. I began to look for a relationship because I thought, well, you know, it's what I'm supposed to do. And then I remember my first relationship, I ended up dating her because, well, she liked me. Because she liked me. Yeah, I guess I like her too because she likes me. So, yeah, let's do this. And all of a sudden, this is a standard we have for dating? I mean, I don't know if you're like this. I don't know if you've ever made relationship decisions like that, you know. And I know one person, she dated a guy just because she felt bad for him, you know, And then, like, two periods later in the school day, she broke up with him, you know. So, which was not very helpful. But this is the standard. See, the thing about valuable items is they cost a lot of money. And usually, for you to buy something valuable, you have to work a lot of hours to earn that money. You have to do hard things to be able to get a job to afford things that are valuable. You know. That kind of determines something that's valuable. Something that's valuable is something that not everybody has. If everybody has it, then it's common, right? Valuable things are things that people spend long, hard hours to earn, and very few people have them. You know, matter of fact, that's one of the determining factors of how valuable things are, is how rare they are. So, if you're valuable, then one of the determining factors of how you value yourself is how hard are you to get? How hard does someone need to show themselves worthy for your time, your body, your mind, your heart? How easy are you to give yourself, your time, your effort, your blood, sweat, and tears, your body to somebody else? How common are you? How many people have you belonged to? How easy is it to get your time? These can actually be pretty rude questions. Sorry. Not sorry. But isn't that a determining factor of value? You, 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, flee from sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality, well, he sins against his own body. You're doing yourself no good. No good. Verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, didn't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit that's in you, whom you have from God. And he says, you know, you're not your own. You don't belong to yourself because you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in the body and your spirit because you are God's. God values you. God says, your heart, your body, I want to live where you are. I want to be close to you. I want to be wherever you are. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. Not just so we can come into a church and sing a song and listen to some guy talk. I say it every week. But Jesus died on the cross because he desires to be close to you. Because he desires to make you like he is holy. Because God himself gave his own blood. Because you were worth it. He determined your value and said, you're worth everything I am. Could you believe that? God said, you are worth everything I am, and that's your value. But the question is this, is how cheap will you sell yourself? Because your value is never going to change. The price has already been paid. This is how much you're worth, Jesus. But your asking price is different than your value. You know, I love old books and Bibles. I bought a Bible for a dollar. That was printed in the 1800s. You will not buy that Bible from me. I don't care how much money you got. Unless it's like $10.1 million to pay off this building. But I'll take that. But you're not going to get that Bible off me because it's valuable to me. I don't care. I won't sell it to you for $100. I won't sell it to you for $500 because it's valuable to me. The price I paid for it was $1. But it's valuable to me. You're not going to get it. You're valuable to God. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. But how cheap are you willing to sell yourself? Because, well, I've been with him for 3 months. I figure it's this way. You're worth 3 months? Are you worth 6 months? Are you even worth 3 years without a commitment? I can't tell you how many times I've seen a teenager. I've even had family and, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, love each other, you know, doing the thing with the thing and the thingy thing. And, you know, all of a sudden, something happens. And they have a little visitor right behind her belly button. And this relationship that's now three people gets downsized to two people. And the guy leaves. I've seen it happen. The relationship's 2 months long. I've seen it happen. The relationship's 6 months. I've seen it happen. The relationship's a year and a half long. And a year and a half gone. Because a brother can't handle his responsibility. No. Because a girl won't value herself and a man won't value himself to what God's called them to. And they settle for less than God's best. And I'm not here to make anybody feel bad. Listen to me. I'm not here to make anybody feel bad. But I am here to say, look, this is the truth. And when you're exposed in God's light, everybody's dirty. Everybody's dirty. It's a matter of now we know we allow God to clean us up. So I don't care what your past is. I don't care if you are or were pregnant. That's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about is today, right now, what decision can you make to live a life that is to the fullness of God's value for you? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your past. I'm talking about right now. What are you going to do to value yourself like God values you? Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, don't got to turn there because we got to go through this thing quick. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. I don't care what happened to you, what hurts you experienced. Look, we care. But what's happened to you in the past, as somebody has abused you, they've taunted you, they've made fun of you, they've left you in the dust. Maybe you've been trashed on, dumped on. You had a guy or a girl break your heart, cheat on you, whatever the case is. That's the way it was. That's not the way it is. Because when you meet Jesus Christ, everything is new. And every hurt you have, God has come to heal. Every heartbreak, God has come to to sew and to mend your heart back together. No, scratch that. Give you a brand new heart. Because God's best restorations are replacements. The Bible says he wants to come and take your busted out broken heart, the one that's been neglected and abused. He wants to take it out because it's turned to stone. Put a new one of flesh in you that can feel, that can give and receive. You see, that's what we're talking about tonight. I guess this is the sex talk that people ought to give. Pastor Richard, what are you talking about? Does God really care? What if I love the guy? I get those questions all the time. Well, you know what? If the guy or the girl really loves you, then wouldn't they do what's best for you? Right? Wouldn't they do what's best for you? Yes. Is that what you really need right now? Right now. Best thing for me is getting some. Yeah. That is the best thing I could do right now. Is get some action. Really? Really? That's the best you can do? Is that what we're chasing right now? A little bit of tail? Is that what we're chasing? Short skirt? Couple chains? What did Trey say? $20 bill, my brother borrowed, let me. really? Look, I've been on Twitter a lot lately. And I don't know. No, this was a Facebook post my wife got. And it was about, like, said something about if you forward this, two boys will like you, it'll be the best day of your life. And I text my wife, I said, really? Look, if getting a kiss and having somebody ask you as the best day of your life, I'm going to be real. Sorry if I'm not being very pastoral right now. I said, if that's the best day of your life, you're screwed. I thought, man, if that's it, then look, you have a, I'm sorry, your world's very small. The Bible says flee sexual immorality. It says, look, guys, every sin a man does is outside his body, but he who commits sexual immorality, he sins against his own body. You are cutting yourself short. Look, you're cutting your future short through the risks of all these things that could happen. Being embarrassed, getting a disease. You know, MTV 2 years ago released a study from the CDC, and the study said by the age of 27, this generation, by the age it reaches 27, one out of every four will have a sexually transmitted disease. That means you have a 1 in 4 chance of catching it or marrying somebody that has one, and even passing it on to your children. And that's not to, like I said, shame anybody. But I'm looking here. If you, every sin a man does is outside of his body, but sexual immorality is a sin you do against your own body. Why would you play Russian roulette like that? Look, sex and all these things are designed to be safe and to add value. Yes, God designed sex. It's not dirty. He designed it to add value to you, not add risk. If you're like, oh man, counting the days down to see, am I in trouble or am I not? This little activity has created risk in your life. It takes your joy and your peace. It'll keep you up at night. Is it really worth it? But Pastor Richard, I can't help myself. What? You can't help yourself? I'm just blessed. The ladies like me, Pastor Richard. You don't know. You don't know. Oh, or maybe on the flip side, it's the only way you can not feel alone. Because I get it. You know, sometimes, especially if you used to be in a relationship, it's one of the ways that you can feel valuable. I get it. I was in a relationship for 3.5 years. I remember what it felt like to be single all of a sudden. It was weird. And lonely. I understand. But I just have to believe that God is better for us than that. I've got to believe that. You know, when it comes to sex and things sexual, I don't know if this is, you're used to talking about this stuff in church, but let's just get used to it. Your body releases a hormone inside of you. It's called oxytocin. Not OxyContin, that's a drug. But don't do that either. But oxytocin is a hormone inside of you. Scientists, doctors call it the cuddle hormone. It's released when you do stuff like this. And whatever whoever you're around or whatever you're looking at, your body chemically bonds inside of you to relate what you're looking at as something that you bond with. Emotionally, it bonds you to what you're looking at. So, gentlemen, if you're watching stuff on TV, you're bonding to the TV. You're bonding to your phone. It's kind of creepy, kind of nasty, but don't do that. Ladies, gentlemen, when you guys are, when a person, when they engage in sexual activity, your body has been designed to release oxytocin within you to bond you to that person. See, that's why breakups hurt so bad. Spiritually, the Bible says that a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife. They shall become, two shall become one. And then chemically, God says, and then oxytocin shall be released. Right there. That's a scientific version. You can quote me on that one. Whether you cut it through the Bible, through science, biologically, this is why there's no such thing as casual sex. You can't turn it off. Spiritually, you can't turn it off. Biologically, you can't. You weren't designed to. There's no off button. See, you're valuable. And quick hookups, it's kind of like fast food. Cheap, quick, not very good. People that live off of fast food are not very healthy. Spiritually, physically, don't live off fast food. Relationally, don't live off fast food. Value yourself. A couple verses earlier, 1 Corinthians 6:11 through 12. I have a nice little string of verses here. It kind of goes through a list here. It says, look, this church here in the city called Corinth is kind of getting the smack laid on them because they're doing a lot of stupid things. Crazy things. Like I said, things that are not even legal today. But it says, look, you guys, in verse 8, you guys don't have it on the board. Let me read it to you. In 6:8, it says, look, you guys are doing wrong and you're cheating. And you do these things to your own brethren. These are actually people inside the church too. Says, don't you know that the unrighteous, the people that aren't right with God, they're not going to inherit God's kingdom. Don't be fooled. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such, these are some of you. He says, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of the God. He says, look, guys. All things are lawful to me, but not everything's helpful. See, these people lived a life that's pretty messed up, but they weren't stuck there. God got a hold of them, changed their life, inside to outside, and they weren't perfect, but he changed them in the way they valued themselves, the way they went for their best, because that's the best they could do, to God's best, which is something greater than that. So he made them holy. Holy. 1 Peter 1:13. If you guys have it, you can turn there, but go ahead, give it to me. 1 Peter 1:13. Give it to me up here. I'll turn there too. We'll raise. Oh, it says, now to them, right here, 1 Peter 1:13. No, that's 12. Give me the next one. Cool. Okay, therefore, girding up our loins. This is a very interesting verse, considering the subject. Okay, so. Sorry, this is Bible joke. Sorry. New King James. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Mind, people, mind. And rest your hope fully upon the grace. That's God's power. That's to be brought to you at the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, of Jesus Christ. Next one. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to your former lusts, your former desires, the things you want craved, as in your ignorance. But as he, God, who called you, is holy. You ought also to be holy in your conduct. Stop there. Every morning and every night I brush my teeth. I brush my children's teeth too. We have 4 toothbrushes in our house, at least. Some of the people in the family have more than one. other day, my son has this really neat toothbrush, and it's got a toothbrush on one end, and the other end has got a suction cup. And it's funny because, my phone and my iPad, there's times where my kid's playing games on it, and he just goes, puts it right on the screen. It's disgusting. Anyway, my wife was brushing his teeth the other day, and the toothbrush fell out of his hand, her hand, in the bathroom. And it went right into the toilet. But it had a suction cup. So it went sideways, right on the inside bowl of the toilet. No lie, no joke. Bam, right there. No water contact whatsoever. That was your toothbrush. Would you use it? Come on, it didn't even touch the water. I mean, yeah, you wouldn't lick the suction cup, that's for sure. There was nothing in it, guys. Gee, the toilet bowl. Well, my wife, being my wife, the Lysol queen, she quickly threw it away and bleached the entire house. But see, this is the thing. The word holy is just like a toothbrush. You see, a toothbrush has one purpose, and I'm sure you feel the same way I do. A toothbrush is meant to be in one mouth. Yours. You don't share it. You share a toothbrush with your brother? No. You share a toothbrush with your mama. I remember one time I tried to get my wife to let me use her toothbrush. She about ready to slap me. It's like, hon, I kiss you all the time. I don't care. That's my toothbrush. A toothbrush has one purpose, one mouth, one place it goes. If you use it for anything else, you throw it away. You didn't get close to the toilet, but you throw it away. This is exactly what it means to be holy. Holy means it has one purpose, set apart to do one specific thing. The Bible says God has called you to be holy in your conduct. So you've been called and designed to live for God and God alone. And anything outside of that, you're being robbed. You're being robbed. You're being cheated. You're like a toothbrush that's fallen into a toilet, unwilling to be used. You're like a toothbrush that was used to clean teeth, but now all of a sudden, it's being used to clean the grout on the tile. Now, it's not that the illustration breaks down because you can be redeemed, but the toothbrush is ruined because it's unholy. It's common now. Don't let yourself be common. But God says this, I don't care what you've been through, you can change. If you've been hurt, you can be healed. If you've been there, done that, you can be made whole. I had one girl ask me, can God re-virginize you? And I thought, that is probably one of the most valid questions I have heard. Yes. Yes. God can take you, a person who's given yourself to somebody else, no matter how many people, and God can make you holy. God can make you brand new. God can make you a person who doesn't have to be dependent on physical relationships to live your life. That is what God can do. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we already said it, that if you come to Jesus Christ, you can be made a new creation. If you are serious and you mean it, there is no thing too great that God cannot work and fix in a person's life. And today, you can choose lust or love. You can choose God's way or your way. You can choose now or later. Man, I on Twitter, I saw somebody had posted, marriage sounds boring today. I wanted to reach through my phone and slap the person who posted that and the person who retweeted it. I'm just giving too much information away. The person who says that is because they haven't seen marriages done God way. They haven't seen the way things are meant to be. Because marriage is very hard, but very much so worth it. I couldn't imagine a greater thing in my life than being a husband and a father. I mean, I don't even have words to tell you guys what that means when you do things God's way. And they'll tell you, I said last week, they'll tell you, a married person, number one, will live longer than a single person. And number two, they'll have more sex than a single person. Never mind, we got to close service down. Anyway, I'm not. Just don't worry. This won't. We're service is done, so no more TMI. But that's what that is scientifically proven. Never mind. Okay. So you choose. You know you're valuable. What's your selling point? How much you worth? How long are you worth? Are you fast food or are you fine dining? Hey, you choose. You choose. You choose. You can do it your way or God's way. You choose lust now or love later. You guys got anything out of God today? Let's give him praise.